there can be a lot of pressure from your kids, from society, from the world, when it comes to parenting. And a lot of that pressure is just, it's overwhelming. And for some reason, I think that it's primarily geared to just how we raise our children. And it would be very helpful of experiences shared for those that feel like they're a little clueless or they may need some other person. So I'm going to be introducing you to one of my special guests who will be sharing some of her experiences. I'll let her introduce herself and give you just a brief background of her and her son. She'll give you his name and age, and we'll go from there. So Your Mom's Journal is going to be introducing you to Crystal Cato. Hi, Crystal.
Hey, Mika. And hey, everybody.
How are you? I hope you're doing well tonight. And I want to first thank you for doing this interview with me. And I pray that what you have to say will bless someone, help someone, and just give someone a little push if they need it. So first off, you have a son, and we'd like to know his name and age for those that don't know you already.
My son's name is Caden Amari, and I call it picked Amari because that means given by God. So he's God's gift to me and full of life and energy and everything else, busy.
I understand busy. How old is Caden?
Caden is 5, going on 500.
Wow. He's an old soul.
Very much so.
That's funny. I can totally relate. Everybody knows I have a 4-year-old who's going on 40. He'll actually be 5 in April, so I'll be looking forward to the terrible 5. So we're going to get started, Crystal. I'm just going to ask a few questions so we can get just the understanding of what your experiences are as a mom and, you know, what it's like being a mommy to Caden. So first off, we want to know, what do you think is the most challenging thing about being a mom of one right now? We're not saying you're not going to have another one, but for right now, what's the most challenging?
Caden was first. So let's see. I think there's two challenges to being a parent of just one. One of them would be not being a hoverer or a helicopter parent and being overprotective. As a mom of one, everybody says that on your you treat your first child different. By the second child, you know, and you allow them to do more stuff. So I think a challenge of only having one is allowing them to learn from and fail, let them try things on their own instead of always wanting to jump in and be like, oh no, that's going to hurt you, or oh no, that's not going to work out. So just allow him to be himself and figure things out on his own. And then another thing I think that's a challenge with just having one child is teaching them that everything doesn't revolve around them. Because when we're at home, most of my attention is on him. So I need to learn to let him, make sure he knows how to share and coexist with others so that he don't grow up being selfish and thinking the whole world revolves around him.
I get it. That's totally relatable. My oldest is currently 15, and I remember just as you were speaking, being a hovering parent. I was a helicopter mom. I was afraid to let her hurt herself. I remember her being on the playground, and they had the, I believe it was like cut up rubber on the playground. So it was very difficult to hurt yourself when you, but in my mind, it was death. Like, I just thought if she would fall down, I wouldn't have her in my life anymore, so I didn't want her playing. But I learned over the course of, even before I had my second one, I just learned over the course of the years that I needed to just not be so straight. Well, not necessarily straight, I was just so protective. There's nothing wrong with protecting our children, of course, but it was getting to the point where she wasn't having fun. So I was one of those moms initially, but I had to learn how to pull back. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So now that I know I wasn't like tripping.
You're not alone. Yes. And it is always just you want to protect them. You don't want them to end up getting hurt. And some things, you know, that it's going to be like, oh my gosh, he's going to cry after that. He's going to scrape his knee. He's going to, and then just like, but I learned that if you allow them to do some stuff, and then they'll just know next time, like, oh no, I'm not supposed to do that. And that's how they learn.
Right. You're so right. Even when they get older and they deal with other kids, they learn from the other children's mistakes as well. I just recall having Zaya go to a birthday party, I believe it was, and one of the kids was playing with a toy, and the toy, I believe it was like building blocks. I'm going to say Legos. I can't remember exactly what it was. I just remember the kids were like stacking something. So let's just say they were Legos. And I remember one of the parents saying, quit doing that, it's gonna fall and hit, you know, the kid or whatever. And I wanted to tell Zaya, no, don't do that, but she stood back and watched the other kids play with what they were told not to, and they got hurt. So she saw the other kids, you know, learn a lesson, which in turn taught her. So I learned too, like, I don't always have to intervene. Sometimes she can just use her common sense and get things on her own. So yeah, we don't always have to intervene and, you know, say, hey, don't do that, or they'll learn their lessons for sure. But moving on, we were talking about things that may be challenging. So on the flip side of that, what's the most rewarding thing about being a mom of one?
I think when you only have one, you don't have the guilt of like dividing your time between the kids. And it's like, oh no, I did this with her. Now tomorrow has to be his day. Or don't have anyone feeling left out because you're trying to spend one-on-one time with the other child. You can just, that's the only one. I'm like, and I call Kevin every day. I'm like, come here, my little handsome phantom. Or and tell him that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Or I'm like, you're the best son in the whole wide world. So I'm like, what if I had another child? I'm like, yeah, both of y'all are the best. I'm like, mommy, you said I'm the best. I'm like, yeah, both of y'all are the best.
That's totally right. And I do that now. Like, let's not forget, once upon a time, now I have a trio, so I had that struggle. It's a beautiful thing, but it's also like, it's hard because I'm having to split my time three different ways, and a lot of times I can't spend my time with all three of them equally, and sometimes I feel guilty. But I, in my mind, I'm thinking, as long as I show them love, you know, I don't think, well, I know they're not sitting down with like an hourglass saying, hey, your time is up, my turn, you know. Right. So as long as they get love, I don't think that they're missing out on me. But they will tell me, mommy, I miss you. You need to come read this book to me. You need to come play with these toys with me. You need to come bake these cookies. So they will speak up. Kids are very, very outspoken, to say the least. So whenever they feel like they're not getting enough mommy time, they will speak up. Is Caden one of those types where if, let's say, for example, he misses you and he hasn't seen you for, let's say, a few hours or what have you, or something comes up and you don't get a chance to see him when you want to see him, is he the type of kid that says, mommy, you didn't see me today, or I want to spend time with you, or, you know, how does he, or if that's ever happened, how does he, you know, let you?
He does. And he'll be like, well, you left me. And I didn't, like, oh my gosh, Caden, I really didn't leave you. I had to do something else. Like, I couldn't be near. Or if it was the point where, like, I was working late and so he would be with my mom or something. And he had a long day, so he's falling asleep by the time I get there. Like, I used to cry because I didn't get to see him. And so I don't ever want him to think, like, I wasn't there. So, like, sometimes I actually wake him up just so he know, like, Caden, I did come back to you. Like, I wasn't gone. But he would be, like, holding on, like, mommy, why you didn't take me with you? Why you left me? And I'm like, oh, Caden. You can't go everywhere. Everywhere I go is not for kids. Some things that I have to go to work and have to do that by myself. I can't take you to work all the time. So, to let it be known.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, at least he keeps you on your P's and Q's and keeps you on your toes. So, if he doesn't speak up, you know, as a mom, and the fact that you cried, like, that says a lot. Like, some parents don't, they like, oh, I haven't seen my child in a week. You're like, what? How do you do that? So kudos to you. At least you want to spend time with your kid. That's awesome. So that brings me to my next question. Do you think it's easier to be a parent of one, or would you say that you would have the same challenge as a parent that has like multiple kids, like myself? And if it is easier, you think, or not easier, what do you think the difference is?
I think it's easier. I think you have less attitudes mm-hmm. and personalities to maneuver with. And then it cuts out some of the schedule conflicts. Like, I know as a parent, you want to be to all your kids' events. With more than one child, if you have them involved in different stuff, then you always run the risk of them having like a basketball game and a piano recital, or a basketball game and a dance recital, or something going on at the same time. And maybe they're actually like overlapping. And so you have to make a choice of like, oh my gosh, which one am I going to see? And if I go to this one, does this child feel bad? Like, and I would just feel so guilty not being able to go be in two places. Like, I can't freeze time and just come here with you and then go back or something. I think that's challenging. Yeah.
It is. It's very challenging. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because the point of me doing this segment of just being a parent of one is just to shed light on those parents that only have one, so they don't feel guilty for not having a child with this, you know, with a sibling, or children. If they do have multiple children, there's a huge gap. Initially, I felt guilty that my daughter, my oldest, waited so long to have a little sister, a little brother. But it, like you said, it's very easy to have just one. And for those parents that are thinking about bringing another sibling into the picture, it'll be a smooth transition as long as you have the time, the love to share. You know, you can get the best of both worlds with either situation. But now we're going to flip it. I'm going to ask if you would share with us your most embarrassing thing that you've experienced since being a mom to Kaden. I'm pretty sure you have several stories, like myself, and I can hear him back there. So if you'd like to share, we're willing to listen.
Oh my. So I'm the type of parent, whether it's good or bad, that I teach Kaden if someone hits him, then he's to hit them back. Like, you don't not about mm-hmm. to be a bully. You don't just go around hitting people, but you are going to defend yourself. So mm-hmm. he's 4 at the time. We went to his 4-year-old checkup. Jesus, he shouldn't have learned this that early. But his doctor loves to play with him. And I love Dr. Willard. So Dr. Willard is just like kind of tapping him. And so Kaden's like, stop. And he's like, come on, come on. I got you. Dr. Willie got you now. And so he's playing. And Kaden keeps saying, stop hitting me. And so before I knew it, Kaden took his hand and he swung back and slapped him. And my face, like, if I could have just got up under the little table, I would have. It was like, I know. Oh my gosh. Like, this really just happened. And so I'm standing here and I'm like, Kaden, no, you don't do that.
Oh my.
And so Dr. Will is like, I guess I had that one coming. He did tell me to stop. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Like, so I'm like, for the rest of the day, I'm thinking, I'm like, did he go around telling people that he got slapped? Like, a little child just slapped him. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so embarrassing. And Kate's like, I told him to stop. He kept hitting me. And I'm like, you do not do that. You do not hit your doctor. Like, for kids that hit you, not just adults.
Well, I guess Dr. Willett learned a lesson that day. I'm pretty sure he probably didn't go around just love tapping.
Like, the kid. Oh my gosh. Like, he really slapped him.
Oh my gosh. That's a lesson. That's one I haven't heard before.
Yes. Very. Yeah. I'm like,
thank you for sharing. with that being said, we're going to close out the interview with just one last question. And I always like to allow people that I interview to give a piece of advice to the listeners and other parents. So what advice would you give to a parent that is dealing with the absence of the other parent?
Oh, for that, I would just say,
I said concerning inconsistencies, because a lot of us, unfortunately, we are experiencing, you know, one parent households or raising our children by ourselves. So in regards to inconsistencies, if you were dealing with the inconsistent parent, absent parent, how would you deal with a parent that's in and out?
That is just going to be like, that's where your faith has to come in, and you have to believe in the power of prayer and believe that whatever you ask in prayer, that if you believe you receive it, then know that you have it. No matter what it looks like, even if it looks like the situation isn't changing, just keep speaking life over the situation. We have the power of life and death in our tongue. So if you keep saying like, amen, this, his dad isn't going to do anything, he's not going to do anything, he's never going to be anything, and then that's exactly what you're going to have. You have whatever you speak. So just start praying for them and just saying that, I know that my child will grow up with two parents loving them. He will always know that there was nothing that either one of his parents wouldn't do for him, that their parent was present. And just keep claiming that they will one day be the father or mother that God has created them to be. And just like, you never know the why they're inconsistent. So instead of always saying like they're not, kind of try to reach out to them sometimes and like, hey, I just want to check on you. How you doing? And then even though they're inconsistent, I think through prayer, you can begin to build a relationship with them just on a friend level. And when they see that you haven't given up on them or you're not talking bad about the child to them, then they may come around. And I'm telling you, like, for a year, Caden went without seeing his dad at all. A year. And it wasn't that I kept his dad from him, and I'm not sure what he was going through or what he was dealing with at the time, but even when he wasn't present, God was still there, and Caden never missed anything. I never missed anything or lacked anything. And in the midst of me praying for him, I was able, God blessed me where I was able not only to provide for him, but to be a blessing to someone else. So in the midst of that, just keep praying. And I'm gonna tell you, like, since November, Caden's dad has been seeing him every week after not seeing him for a year. So he's five now, and this is the most like he ever saw his dad. So just, I know that prayer works.
That's amazing. And I'm glad that that situation turned around for the better, not just for his father, but for Caden, because these kids, they need both parents. And we can only do so much. We always do the best that we can, whether you're a single mom or a single dad, because we do have single dads out there that are raising their children on their own for whatever the reason may be. It's hard, and we always want our kids to experience the love of both parents, and that's not always the case. So thank you so much for sharing the power of prayer, and I'm happy for you. I'm happy for Caden, and I'm so glad you were able to do this interview with me, because I know it's going to be a blessing to someone and anyone that's listening. As I stated before, we're all under pressure and societal scrutiny when it comes to how we raise our children. And there are a lot of factors behind our reasoning. However, I thought it was important to talk to different parents that have to focus their time, their love, their attention on one child versus multiples. And in turn, hopefully it'll relieve some pressures just by talking and listening and answer some unknown questions. I remember when my oldest was the only one that I had out of the three. And for a very long time, I knew that I didn't want another. And it was more so because I wanted to make sure that the life I provided for her was fulfilling. I had so much that I wanted to do. I wanted to finish school. I wanted to start my own business. And I knew that it would have been much harder to do that with another child. So it was just the two of us for a while. Little did I know that it would have been 7 long years before I made my only a big sister. Just to give some history for those that don't know me, in the start of those 7 years, everything was centered around her. I was protective, like I was telling Crystal in the earlier part of this segment. I was a hoverer, and I felt a lot of pressure. It wasn't pressure on me from her or from myself. It was just pressure from the world. I just felt that everyone was just watching my every move, waiting for me to mess up. So I felt I had something to prove prior to me
having my daughter, I joined the military. There had been an opportunity for me to go overseas for a bit of time, but because she was so small, I opted not to go and ended up getting out. And I served my years in the military, enjoyed it, but ultimately I wanted to be a mom and I wanted to be a good mom. I didn't think I could do that being so far away for so long. I knew I needed a career. I needed something that I could do to pay bills. So I enrolled and graduated from cosmetology school. I later passed the board. I got my license. I began working at a beauty salon, and I shadowed the salon owner for a couple of years until finally I was able to open my own salon. But prior to me doing that, I mastered the art of hair braiding, and then I got my license to do braids. But I wanted to go back to school and finish what I started. I was a sophomore in college at South Carolina State University. I want to get it correct. Home of the Bulldogs. I was a sophomore there when I found out I was pregnant, so I had to put school on hold. But I did go back to school, and I got my associate's in business management while I was working at a salon, and I had a full-time job. Now, I work from home from time to time doing hair, and I worked at a salon, but I did that long enough to save enough money to quit my full-time job and open my beauty salon. So I'm saying all that to say, if there's anybody out there that has hopes, dreams, aspirations, desires to do anything, and you have a kid, don't think that it's the end of the world. Your child should be your motivation to do better, to want more. I did it. I did it more so for her, but ultimately, I was proud of myself. In 7 years, I had accomplished so much. In 7 years, with it just being us two, I did so much. And here we go with the interruptions of the little ones. So like I said, you guys, before, this is unfiltered, unscripted. Let me see what my child wants. Yes, son.
One day, can you get me one of these?
Absolutely. Can you give mommy some time to do some work?
Yeah.
All right, love you. I'll be right back with you, okay? All right. So like I was saying, I was able to accomplish a lot in the 7 years that it was just the two of us. And I just want to give some hope to anyone, even if you have more than one kid, just know that the end of the road doesn't stop when you become a mom, you know, so just keep going, keep pushing. There's other moms out there that you can grab hold on and say, I need help. And if you're kicking butt out there, let somebody know. Do not be too prideful that you can't say, look, I'm doing it, because somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to know that we got some moms and dads that are doing their thing. And I want to hear everybody's story. I want to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups, the downs, the crooked, the sideways, all of it. I'm here for all of it. Your mom's journal is for every walk of life when it comes to parenting. So I just wanted to come back and give you that little piece of me, and why it inspired the interview that I did when I was, you know, focusing on those one kid type questions, because, you know, some people think, hey, this is it. They found out they have that one kid and they're like, oh, my life has to revolve around, you know, that kid. However, you can give your child love and attention and affection, and you can still live your life. You can still be a great person. You can still be a great friend, sister, cousin, niece, anything. You can still do it. So I just pray that what I'm trying to do reaches someone that needs it. And that's it. You guys be blessed. And I'm so happy to be on this journey with you all. Please keep tuning in. I just want to drop a little nugget. Next week is going to be some info that I'm going to share. I'm excited about it. And I can't wait for you to hear it. So have a good one. God bless you.